Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Mae Cobb, and she is out with a brand new novel. It's a thriller called The Hunting Wives. It is set in East Texas, and the book's available now wherever you buy your fine books. Mae, I loved this book. It was something I've never read before, this whole idea about basically just an incredible women's group in East Texas. But the setting itself was so unique to me. So can you set this up for us, this East Texas where this is set? Because it just, it's the Piney Woods area. It's fictional, but it's clearly based on something.
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, thanks so much. That's so nice to hear. So I set The Hunting Wives in my hometown of Longview, Texas, which I fictionalized into Mapleton, Texas. And Longview is set in, as Ryan said, the Piney Woods of East Texas. So when most people think of Texas, they think of like Dallas, Fort Worth, Flatland, you know, ranches, West Texas. But East Texas is quite different, and it's unexpected for Texas. So it's a really thick, lush pine forest. It's actually called the Pine Curtain, and it's these really tall piney woods. It's where I grew up. It's about 2 hours east of Dallas, and it's just always had a very like eerie natural beauty to it, and kind of a haunted feeling. And maybe that's my overactive imagination, but it's just a very beautiful part of Texas.
Well, the story begins with Sophia O'Neill. She's moved there. What is her idea about moving there versus what she actually finds?
So Sophie moves from Chicago, where she's been a very busy lifestyle magazine editor. And she now has a small child, and she wants to raise him in a more slowed down, sort of wholesome, relaxed way. So she moves her wonderful husband and adorable son to this small town, which she had spent some time in high school. Her mother moved her around. But anyway, so Sophie really is craving, like, kind of the grass is always greener. She wants to ditch her fast-paced life and really, you know, raise her son and be a lifestyle blogger, where she's, like, photographing her family having picnics in fields and doing all these wonderful things. When she gets there, she realizes that the grass is very boringly green, and she is bored out of her skull with the lack of stuff to do. So she very quickly becomes involved in the secret clique called the Hunting Wives.
And this is a group that does skeet shooting out in the woods, and there's a murder that's involved, and I don't want to get too much into the detail because the plot is so fast moving that people are going to pick up on it, and I don't want to spoil anything. But you know, they're out there, they're shooting, and they have a lot of the traditions that they do, but there was almost a high school element to me of somebody trying to fit in with the cool group. It kind of reminded me of Grease, where the main character, the Olivia Newton-John character, is trying to fit in with the pink ladies, that sort of thing. And so what is it in Sophie's mind that makes her need to feel accepted by this group, and particularly the one in charge?
Ooh, I love the Grease comp. That's such a great comparison. I hadn't thought of that one yet, but I was obsessed with that movie. Yeah, for Sophie, I really feel like her character, she had a pretty rootless childhood. Her mother moved her around from town to town. Her mom was a traveling nurse, and her dad abandoned her at a young age. So she's always craved stability in her adult life, but there's this other side of her that craves more, like she always craves the bad boy and unsavory things for herself, because all she's ever known is this instability. So when she meets Margot Banks, who is sort of the ringleader of the mean girls-esque hunting wives, she quickly falls under her spell and sort of gets in way over her head and does behave in a very high schoolish manner of, you know, peer pressure and things like that. So I think it's just Sophie's hole in her heart that was left from her sort of rocky childhood.
The idea about the shooting, the women that do this skeet shooting, that's not very popular up here in Iowa. It's just not something that a lot of women engage in. Is it popular in Texas?
Do you mean the women are civilized there? Yeah, it was so growing up in the early 80s, it was popular just with everyone, but it seems like now it has become kind of a thing that girls can get together, women can get together and do like a girls' night at the shooting range or at the, you know, skeet place. So I do think it's become, you know, sort of more popular now.
One thing I found interesting about this book is the whole idea that the nice girl gets corrupted. And did you feel a certain sense as the author to try to protect Sophie from some of this? Or did you just sort of let what was going to happen happen because there really wasn't anything you could do about it once it got moving?
That is such a great question. I knew from the outset I really wanted to, when I write, lead me from one question of watching to see how far she would, you know, descend into her obsession and, like I said, questionable decisions. So I didn't protect her too much. I just sort of let it evolve organically.
Is that
downward spiral?
Is that tough as a writer to let a character do something that is completely against what you would do? How do you step out of your own shell to let the character take over?
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone asked me a similar question, and I'm like, I don't know what that says about me, but I had fun kind of watching her life unravel. But it in a way, it definitely pushes you outside of your comfort zone. I knew always I was writing from the safety of my keyboard, and, you know, it's fiction and all that, but there was definitely a part of me that was like, whoa, she's really going to go there. That's really going to happen. And that could be difficult for sure.
I'm chatting with Mae Cobb about her brand new thriller, The Hunting Wives. It's available now. And Mae, something I found interesting in your bio is that for a while you worked for Ron Shelton and when you were living in California. And Ron's done movies that I loved over the years, Bull Durham, Tin Cup, Best of Times with Robin Williams and Kurt Russell. He also did a movie, Cobb. Is that a complete coincidence?
That is such a complete coincidence. And I love that you love Ron's films. I do as well.
So, but well,
no relation to Ty Cobb, only through Ron Shelton.
And then, of course, the movie Heathers, the Christian Slater flick from the 80s. That was a movie that I grew up on because I was a Christian Slater fan. That was sort of my era as I grew up. How did that movie influence you through the rest of your life?
Oh my God, I love that you're bringing up Heathers. It was such a massive influence. I mean, you know, back then, like, we had one movie a year we could watch on VHS, so I watched it over and over again, and I just love, well, everyone loves Christian Slater, right? And there's just so many great one-liner cut downs in that movie, and I don't know if I can say those on radio because they're so wicked, but I just loved watching that click of wicked girls go, you know, navigate their social world in high school, and it just was so deliciously twisty and mean. And I don't know why that's fun, but it is.
When you write about an area that you know so well and you have memories of it as a child of growing up there, and now you've left and come back and things like that, but do you find that as you try to write about it, it's more difficult because you say, well, I know it so well, but when you actually try to put pen to paper and describe it for somebody that's never been there, that's a tall order.
Yeah, I was very lucky with my first novel, Bigwoods. I actually had just moved back there. And I don't think I could have written the novel or it would have been anywhere near the same if I wasn't living there during that time. So I did spend, this was probably 5 years ago, and I spent nearly 2 years there. And there was a lot of walks on Sophie's jogging trail from The Hunting Wives and a lot of walks through the woods. So I really tried to soak it up. And yeah, it's not hard for me now, but I really think had I not gone back there as an adult and stayed for that length of time, it would have been very difficult.
There's a certain element of this book that couldn't have happened anywhere else, and not just culturally, but financially, socioeconomically, because, I mean, you move to a packing house town, they just don't have women going out and skeet shooting or people that even have the means to do this. And so how much did the socioeconomic status of Sophie and the other women play in allowing them to have happen what happened?
That's such an interesting point, and you're right, that would not happen in every small town. I think it was a huge part of it, and that's one thing I was really excited to write about, because growing up in Longview, it was interesting. It's definitely a smaller city in Texas, and it's you're 2 hours from Dallas, you're an hour from Shreveport, so you're really stuck in the middle of this pine forest. But there is all this oil money there, so there's a lot of wealth, and it's almost like the TV show Dallas, but under even a smaller microscope. So it was very fishbowly, and there was definitely a vibe growing up of some people having way too much money and not enough to do and getting up to no good. So I think that the wealth of these women played a huge role in it. And then also they're sort of like above the law vibe that they give off.
Well, and I think the comparisons are inevitable when you have a book like this. The people will say, well, this is like a boys' club, but just with women. But is there something that's about this particular group that's distinctly female that sets it apart from anything that men in the same ilk would be involved with?
That's a great question, too. I think, I think really just it's, and what I tried to do was really take a deep dive into toxic female friendship. And I know that exists with men too, but it seems like women are even more vicious sometimes with their friendships. So I think that's what might set it apart, because I feel like sometimes in fiction, you'll take a boys' club and it'll be more like who pressured someone into doing what or bullied someone. And this is more insidious, and these women get under your skin more, and it's why Sophie, who's 38, can start to behave like a schoolgirl. I feel like that's the difference. It's just women's relationships in general can be way more intense and power struggly, if that's a word.
I know you honed your writing craft in San Francisco, which is a fantastic writing community, and now you're in Austin, Texas. What's the Austin writing community like?
I mean, I really feel like I've died and gone to heaven here. It is so incredibly supportive, and there's such a wealth of brilliant writers here. And the beautiful thing is that they're also supportive. So when I was just starting out, you know, I would approach some, and they'd be like, yeah, of course, let's go have coffee, and I'll tell you everything you need to know. And I just find it, I just feel like it's one of the reasons I'll never leave here, because the writers really are so warm. We go to each other's events, we try to post about each other's stuff constantly. And then it's just there's so many wonderful literary events around town. Not so much since the pandemic, but before, it just feels very vibrant here.
Do you find that writers are less competitive than in a lot of professions? Because I mean, it's not as cutthroat as some that people are saying, well, I'm not going to give her any tips because I've got books I want to sell too. So how does that work among writers?
You know, I really feel like, especially for the thriller genre, that most writers are just very open and want to help other writers, because they do realize that, you know, their success is someone else's success and there's room for us all. And I've just found it to be so, so supportive. And even on Twitter, I've been able to reach out to some of my thriller writer heroes and develop relationships, and I'm always astounded about how open and generous these people are, and then how insane they are in their writing.
Well, we are all the benefit of that, and this book is just fantastic. It's called The Hunting Wives. It's a new novel. It's a thriller from May Cobb, no relation to Ty Cobb. The book's available now wherever your books are sold. May, just a fantastically entertaining book. It was a one-night read for me, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so very much for having me. This was a blast.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.